WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is TNA superstar EC3.
Hey, this is Gail Kim. This is WWE superstar Natalya.
Hi, this is Brie. And this is Nikki. And we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken, not Haughty.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rack. And you're listening to the greatest rack.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
In this moment in time, right now, this very second, I can truly say that I have the whole damn world in my hands.
With your host,
they've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Right here.
I knew you'd come.
And this is going to be simply glorious.
Everyone, welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward, and well, if you're listening to us over at WildTalkRadio.com, GirlWeb.net, or RackRadioShow.com, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a chance, check out the fine folks over at FightBoot.com. They post awesome content all the time, and you should totally go check it out. And joining me, as always, is my ever faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
Hey, we're here. We're streaming live across the airwaves of Wild Talk Radio Network. And on TuneIn Radio, just search Wild Talk Radio Network. You can tweet the show at Wild Talk Radio, at Lindsay Ward, at Rack Radio Show. Throughout the program, we're journalists in the chat rooms at the websites she just mentioned. Because we have a lot to get into here tonight on the show.
We do. We do. And best of all, we're not talking about a pay-per-view this week. I'm so excited.
Yeah, that's...
No, it's like we do it week after week after week, where it's like, preview, results, because every other week there's a goddamn pay-per-view. Every other week! Now we get this nice little respite until SummerSlam. Until next week, when we have to preview SummerSlam.
Next week we have two previews.
Oh god, that's right, we have TakeOver. And we have SummerSlam. We need to talk to the consultant and also get our reporter.
Yeah, we're in talks.
And the Falcons lost to the Dolphins.
Oh, that's where I need to play.
Also, Dan Quinn has aged terribly over the postseason.
It's been a rough 9 months.
28-3, y'all. 28-3. That's all I'm going to say. It's haunted him. For months, because, you know, 28-3. Anyway!
No, and he's the assistant to the assistant regional consultant.
Ah!
Or something to that effect. Either way. Or is it the analyst? The assistant to the assistant analyst.
I don't know. I think he's the assistant to the assistant analyst. But are we going to have the analyst?
I don't know. We'll have to figure these things out. We may have an analyst. We may have the assistant to the assistant to the assistant's analyst. Who knows?
Or you may just be stuck with us.
Who knows, but we're talking two shows next week, so we'll have two previews. But this week we have a discussion. We're going to talk everything that has to deal with Bayley and that big dilemma that's going on. That'll be at the end of the show. But now we have the news presented by GirlWork.net.
And, well, we came into her music, so we might as well talk about her. That's right. It's over, y'all. No more All Red Everything. WWE and Eva Marie have officially parted ways. This comes as a shock to no one. She's been off TV for almost a year. She has basically given every sign that she's done. People were just waiting for WWE to make it official. That happened this past week. So good luck to Eva Marie as she moves forward in her movie career and all that fun, happy jazz.
Yeah, as I that's posted on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/RockRadioShow, her official announcement was, today I'm saying it, bittersweet goodbye to WWE. Thanks to the entire team and you, my fans, for these 4 years. Hashtag all red everything forever.
I feel like it's a waste. I really do.
Okay, explain.
I'm not saying that from a bitter standpoint. I'm saying that from, they put a lot of time and money into her with the expectation that she was going to pay that back by being a star in the women's division. Because they saw the heat she could get and it was like cha-ching, 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 cha-ching. That's what they were seeing.
Right.
And she sort of just never got there.
It never panned out. She was.
It never panned out.
And here's the thing. She had her best chance before she got popped.
I still say isn't entirely, accidental.
You mean there may be a conspiracy theory there somewhere?
I have a conspiracy. Well, okay, but here's the thing. So she booked two movies, right? Two movies back to back right around the time that she got popped. You don't book those really, really quickly. To do what she did, to be in the size of film that she was in, yes. You don't book that overnight.
No, you don't.
You have plenty of advance warning on that. So...
I actually go, she never committed 100%.
No, I would agree with that. She never committed 100%, and I'll get to that. But it's... You don't book that level of film overnight. Let me get back to where I was. Which means it could be WWE didn't want to give her the time off before... to get ready. It could be, you know, there were circumstances preventing her from doing it, whatever. So, well, what's the best way to get out of having to do work for 30 days? Hey, there's a drug policy. And for what she got popped for, she has had a doctor's note her entire time in WWE. She's filed that paperwork on time her entire time in WWE. And you're telling me she conveniently forgets to file it right before she's going to go off and do a movie? That's all I'm saying. I'm not accusing her of anything. I'm seriously not. It's like I was thinking about this randomly when this happened, and I was thinking about how that whole timeline happened, and I was like, huh, that's really, really coincidental that that all happened the way that that happened. But yeah, she never committed 100% to it because honestly, this wasn't her passion. This wasn't her dream, you know, and whatever she said on Total Divas. She was using this as the stepping stone. Which, I don't blame her. Plenty of other people have done it. You know, you get signed by WWE, you happen to get on Total Divas. It takes off. And now, you're a household name.
And then she got in with the right people, The Rock's production company, The Rock himself, and took off from there. The Rock's ex-wife, it became her business manager, one of them, for the theater stuff. And everything went from there.
I mean, I can't blame her, but at the same time, it's like for the amount of time and money and effort that WWE put in her, because it's like they had her down in NXT, they got her private training, you know, they were hell-bent on making her into a star, they sort of got screwed on the deal.
Yes, they probably did, but at the same time, if they really wanted her back, they would have had her back earlier this year. But they didn't want her back. It was not, you know, it just...
Well, by that point, she had probably already indicated she was not going to resign. And it's like, okay, well, if you're not going to resign, then we're not going to do anything with you, you know?
Oh, yeah. It makes sense.
And by the way, I apologize for my voice. I'm still a little sick. They're doing construction at work, which is interfering with the whole thing, and it's just making it worse. So, sorry. I don't mean to sound ill, but I'm ill. How is that a conspiracy theory?
Just blaming the work. I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, so best of luck to Eva Marie as she moves forward in her career. In happier news, because I don't really have any sort of transition, I guess we're talking about reality shows and women's wrestling, and there we go. There's the transition. GLOW on Netflix has been renewed for season 2. Very happy about this. Very, very happy about this.
If you haven't heard our review of the first season, it is available at Wild Talk Radio and RackRadioShow.com, so you can go out and check that out. But yes, it's awesome. The news came out this evening that it was returning, and we couldn't be happier because the first season was amazing, and can't wait to see what they do with season two, probably in 2018, 2019, whenever it comes out.
Yeah, so yay! Moving on, staying on the women's wrestling theme, Kairi Sane has been officially cleared, which is good news for her because they're doing the Mae Young Classic here in the next couple weeks.
August 28th.
So she just needs to be okay until they do that, which I'm sure they'll make sure she is.
She is back in action tonight in a six-woman tag at the NXT Florida shows.
Ooh. And, well, you can catch the Mae Young Classic on the WWE Network, which is now in China.
Yes, WWE has announced that the WWE Network has launched, along with PPTV, I believe it is. And it's not like the full network. It's like a pay-per-view network that is officially launching in China. WWE and PPTV to announce that the WWE Network will be available in China for the first time beginning on Friday, August 18th. 2 days before SummerSlam. Launching exclusively on the PPTV as a subscription video on demand service featuring all WWE live pay-per-view events, including WrestleMania and SummerSlam PPTV. Customers can download the PPTV app and watch WWE Network content via smart TVs and set-top boxes, mobile devices, and tablet, as well as on WWE.com or WWE.CN, PPTV.com, and sports.pptv.com.
That's a lot.
Fans can sign up to watch one of the WWE Marquee's Event of the Year SummerSlam live in Mandarin on Monday, August 21st at 7 a.m. Beijing time. So there you go. To answer the question on Twitter, yes, the Rock Extra Total Bellas Season 2 will be available the day after Total Bellas airs.
Yes.
So yes, we are doing Season 2 of Total Bellas.
And we will also be doing this season of Total Divas as well.
Yes. So those things you have to look forward to here in the coming weeks. So you're going to get a lot of content and probably some women's classic, Mae Young classic content as well. So a lot of stuff coming this fall.
Yes. And last but not least, the Blame Brands.
Ah, yes. The injury roundup.
Bones breaking. Backs cracking. Shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
You know, the two people on this list, it's like, if you didn't have any luck, you wouldn't, if you didn't have bad luck, there we go, you wouldn't have any luck at all. Because, man alive, first Dash Wilder, now Scott Dawson is injured.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Dude blew out his bicep. He's going to be gone for, like, what, 6 months?
If he needs surgery, he'll be out up to 6 months. It is undetermined whether he needs surgery just yet, but all signs point to surgery.
That sucks.
But there's a Japanese wrestler, Tanahashi, who has the same injury, and he's working through it, but he is suffering for it. So if it's up to Scott Dawson, he probably would want to try to work through it, which he worked through this weekend with it, but then he's like, he got checked out, and it's like, nope, you need to take some time off. So if he does the rehab and it goes, it's fine, then maybe they'll go in that direction, but most likely he will need surgery.
They just came back, too.
They did. They just came back, and it's like, oh, well, you're injured now. Sorry.
Man. But hey, that gets them out of the way for the year. They're done. They're good.
Well, technically,
once they both come back, they can be healthy.
2018 will be a banner year for the revival.
Let's hope. And it's going to be a banner year for somebody else, because in addition to the ACL injury, Tommaso Ciampa also had to have shoulder surgery.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Which, I have to say that was a smart decision on his part, because the shoulder had been nagging him for a while, and it's like, hey, look, you're out for a year with your leg. Why don't you just get that fixed, too? You know?
Yeah. So he was seen walking around with a sling last weekend, so that's where people confirmed that he, you know, had shoulder surgery. That was apparently really hindering him as he was losing a lot of muscle mass. So if you looked at him, notice he got smaller for a while there. That's why.
But that's okay. He has plenty of time to build it back up.
Oh, he did. But that was the cause of it. That's more the point. It was that the reason was because of the injured shoulder.
Fair enough. So that does it for the news. Maybe?
Yeah.
All right. So when we come back, we are going to be talking all things SmackDown and NXT. You don't want to miss it. And then later in the show, we're going to talk a little bit about Miss Bailey because, well, they got some issues with that one. So You're listening to The Rack right here at WallTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Machine that we keep in the park, and if you're looking for trouble, our bite is worse than a bark, cause we done browse of the boys till the day we dead. We got fists made of fire and a neck all red. We keep it dirty, keep it dirty, keep it gritty.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Who is the greatest hockey player of all time? CB Radio has decided.
Butchering some names. Frank Nyberg versus Joe Nieuwenzeken. Nieuwendijk.
I'm going to go with Nieuwendijk.
Yes.
Nieuwendijk. Wow. That is not what it looks like. Sweeney Schreider versus Matt Schmidt.
It's Milt, not Matt.
Whatever. I figured that was going to help out Team Chat. Finally, someone who has a real name. Brad Park gets Mark Messier.
Messier.
What the
Messier.
Hell?
Fucking lynch him. Get a rope.
He has a goddamn R at the end. Screw you.
I can only wait till he gets to that Wayne Gretzky guy.
Guy Lafleur versus Lauren Chatbot. You added a D. Yes, I did. On purpose. Brett Hole versus Ray Borku.
Finkel?
Bjork. Bjork?
Ray fucking Finkel.
Bjork. Okay, whatever.
Just think of the Swedish chef.
Fischler versus Wayne Gretzky.
Gretzky. I'll be the Gretzky guy.
Way to play into it, Jobber. Way to play into it.
Pavel.
Oh, God.
Wait. Pavel. Bure. What? How do they have spelled?
Bure.
Versus Bure.
Bure. Okay.
Oh, my
fucking
God.
French. Jerome Ignilia.
Aginla.
What?
Aginla.
Aginla? Huh. Versus Joe Sakic. That's where I was going to go originally, but I figured it was going to be pronounced differently than I was expecting.
Jerome Aginla, one of the all-time greatest Calgary Flames players of all time.
Okay, Sakic. So I'm going to go with Joe.
And we'll just sack it on. I can feel the hatred now for that last one.
You're all idiots.
It's the Greater Than Great Debate. Heard Saturday night, midnight-ish Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
This is Angelina Love, your six-time knockout champion and the sacred seductress, and you are doing the right thing because you are listening to the Rack Radio Show.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. And a huge shout out to everybody listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, and WildTalkRadio.com. If you get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at FightBook.com because they're awesome and we love them. So you should too. And well, by the sound of that, we're talking NXT and of course SmackDown because we don't have a pay-per-view this week. So, hit the SmackDown music.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
this week's SmackDown. Showdown.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Can you tell I'm, like, insanely excited about the fact that we do not have to talk about a pay-per-view this week? Either recapping it or, previewing it. I'm just, like, so happy right now. So anyway, SmackDown. It was a thing. It happened. Apparently, Fandango got abducted by aliens.
Yeah, just get into that part.
Where he went for their wardrobes. Anal probes, but wardrobes. I was actually impressed they got anal probes on network television.
Well, it's cable.
But still.
Have you seen some of the shows they are on USA?
For a PG product, PG, they got anal probes in there. I was impressed.
Yeah.
I was not impressed with was the payoff for this.
Okay, the payoff for what they did was funny.
But it wasn't what I wanted.
That's why it's disappointing. And maybe we'll still get the payoff we want. All right, so what happened was the Ascension came in, they took the cherry pie. Because they like pie.
They were there for free pie. You can blame them.
Then Dango came back as he was abducted by alien, as she just mentioned. And then they were trying to figure out who took Tully. Well, Arn Anderson walked in, and then he was revealed that it was him who destroyed Tully. Because the horse should have been named Arn, not Tully. Because inside references, Four Horsemen. Woo!
That was clever.
They should have named Arn because anyone with any sense at all knows he was the Haas of that group. And then he took their donut.
I mean, it was good. It was clever. It was funny. But it just was like, but I wanted it to be like Luke and Eric. And they show up and they start killing people. Because Eric's mask lights up now, y'all. Put glowy lights in his sheet mask. I need to see that on my TV.
He did.
Give me my goddamn swamp children. I want them. Damn it.
Instead, we had a mixed tag of Ty Dillinger and Sami Zayn. They took on the Usos.
This is like the equivalent of losing in your hometown if you lose in your home country, right? Although this was Ty's actual hometown.
It was Ty's actual hometown, and he's the one who took the fall.
Poor Ty.
So the Usos won, but I did like that the New Day came out and they jumped the Usos. Like, you had Big E come out on the ramp, and the rest, Xavier and Kofi decided to, yeah, I'm going to jump them. And they did. I thought that was really good.
That was really good. I like that.
That was a really good part of the thing. That said, that's not the best thing they did this week. Oh, no. That was not the best thing they did this week. In fact, instead, I'm going to play it for you now, what the New Day did to honor D-Generation X. Props to Xavier for learning that on the trombone.
I love how they all break down into, like, giggling like schoolgirls at the end.
And I don't want to know what Big E was doing.
Big E was practicing his hip thrusts. I don't know. Making sure someone sucked it really good.
Suck it real good?
Like you do? I don't know. Anyway, moving on.
Moving on to things.
Wait, Matt, what?
When you were talking about anal probes.
No.
That was where the comment was from.
Anyone? Porn? What? Dude, no. Bad. Porner.
So you know how in a couple weeks we're having a solar eclipse?
Yeah.
On SmackDown there was a full moon.
Yes, there was. Yes. Yes, there was. And Lana got thanked for it.
So Charlotte and Lana had a match. The match was nothing special, but Lana looked okay. Charlotte led her well.
Yes, she did. And Lana's wearing shorts now because...
the internet. Or
malfunctions.
But then, she's wearing her shorts. Charlotte wears her little trunks. Sunset flip. Oops. Trunks come down.
And there's Charlotte's backside for the world to see.
And they did a thing on Instagram where she just wanted to give everyone a good show. And she was laughing about it. It's like, I just want to give everyone a good show. So what the whole thing with Lana led to was, she said last week on the internet that she wanted to express her admiration for Tamina, and that she wanted to challenge Charlotte after feeling inspired to be more charismatic and a more ravishing version of Tamina.
Tamina was slightly insulted by this.
Slightly. So later, after the match. Tamina's like, it was because you have this admiration, you have this ambition. And well, you're now going to use that ambition to help me. So we have storyline growth.
We're seeing a growth in the relationship, which I don't know if is good or bad, but we're seeing growth, which is good. Lana is looking better in the ring. She's still not the best thing since sliced bread.
Or
sliced bread number two. They're working with her. I think if she gets more experience in the ring, she will get better. You can clearly tell she did get trained, but she's still awkward, but that's anybody that's still trying to figure it out. Yeah. All of them were awkward at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Lana is kind of getting that trial by fire.
And it's a slowdown process. Now you're going to see her slowly improve, hopefully. Because we've seen it with other divas, including Carmella, or women. Because Carmella took on Naomi. Carmella has definitely improved her game, has mm-hmm. gained more confidence in herself. She had a solid matchup with Naomi on SmackDown, and even beat the WWE SmackDown Women's Champion when we saw the return of Daniel Bryan's least favorite person, James Ellsworth.
Somewhere Bryan was throwing things. You know he was. Because it's like, God damn it, he's back. I didn't ask for this. Because I was sitting there, I was like, oh, did they lift the suspension? And it's like, no, the suspension was only 30 days. Right. So James Ellsworth is back off his 30-day suspension. So we'll see how this goes.
Shinsuke Nakamura basically declared that at SummerSlam, he will fulfill his destiny to become WWE Champion, and the Nakamura dynasty would begin.
Do it. And bring your crown and your cape. Mainly just your cape. Your really fabulous red cape. I would be fine with that.
The show opened on Tuesday with John Cena coming to the ring. And he mentioned he's Super Cena, and it was a Super Cena versus the King of Strong style. He found out quick that Shinsuke is afraid of nothing. He said Shinsuke hits hard, and he earned the right to become the champion. He said when he lost, which doesn't happen to him often, he offered his hand. Shinsuke had earned his respect. But then they were interrupted by Baron Corbin. But then he came out. Yeah, and then he was also interrupted by Baron Corbin. Corbin said he was tired of hearing about the handshake and tired about being lectured by Cena about respect. He said he was the future and he had no problem making Cena the past. Cena replied that Corbin was a skinny, fat, overrated dumpster fire, just like the sign in the front row. And then we had dumpster fire chants.
It was clever.
Someone even created a dumpster fire Twitter.
Of course they did.
Because they liked one of our tweets about dumpster fire, so that's the reason I know there was a dumpster fire Twitter created.
Because of course they did.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Daniel Bryan...
So...
Hold on. Let me finish the thing. Daniel Bryan made it, came out, and booked the match between Cena and Baron Corbin at SummerSlam because Corbin was clearly not dressed to compete tonight, and that's what happened. Then there was stuff on Twitter, but I'll let you go first.
So before we move on, we need to discuss the other thing that happened with Baron, which is the dude got a new theme and a new Tron. Neither of which I particularly care for.
Yeah.
I liked the city fading to black behind him. I thought that was really cool.
It was, but now, you know, you can tell they're changing up his music. They're changing up his thing. His Tron. Big push is coming.
He's also posting skulls and stuff and kind of witchy things. So it's like, are they trying to do some sort of Aleister Black thing with him? Because seriously, like the new Tron and the theme are something out of like Game of Thrones.
And maybe that's why.
Oh, God. I hope he doesn't have a sister. That's going to get really awkward really fast.
Ashley on Twitter wants us to know. Nikki Bella will be sitting front row for John's match at SummerSlam.
I saw those tweets. This is really wrong of me. But I want Baron to do it. And then I want Nikki to smack the crap out of him. And beat him up.
Break his neck.
Not break his neck, but beat him up because Nikki Bella, you know. But yeah, I want that to happen. For those of you that don't know what we're talking about, John Cena and Nikki Bella and Baron Corbin were exchanging barbs back and forth about the match at SummerSlam. And Nikki said, I'll be there, you know, sitting front row cheering him on. And Baron's like, oh, good, I'll bring him over and slam him down right in front of you. Because Baron's being Baron on Twitter. So yeah, I don't think I ever saw Nikki Bella's response, if she did respond at all. But yeah. That was a thing, and I kind of want the thing to happen very badly.
I was just giving you the lyrics from Mark Henry's theme, that's all. Beat him up, break his neck.
I know, but still, I don't want him to break his neck. That's awkward. Anyway.
And I can't wait to sit front row and see him slap the mouth right off your face. No one gives and inspires as much as that man does. That was her response. See, at least Matt got what I was going for. Anyway,
moving on.
Randy Orton beat Jinder Mahal because we all needed that.
I don't know why they went for this again. because it's there. I don't know.
It was the best match they've had.
It was the best match they've had. The Bollywood boys did not get involved, which is helpful because you had Jinder win clean.
Randy win clean.
Or, I'm sorry, Randy win clean.
It would have been better if Jinder won clean. It would have put him over. But the champ lost clean in the middle of the ring.
Which means Randy Orton's going to get another title shot at some point, because he beat Jinder, unless Jinder drops the title to Shinsuke, which I would be 100% fine with.
And then Rusev kicks Randy's head off to end SmackDown. But that was not the only thing. There was one other thing that happened on SmackDown Live. One, Shane McMahon is still getting his new wardrobe together.
Yes, thank you to Mrs. McMahon for finally packing a different outfit other than the Henleys. Thank you for that. So, appreciate that.
So he was out to, you know, basically have a confrontation between Kevin Owens and AJ Styles. And things were brought up about screw-ups.
That was brilliant. That was absolutely brilliant. Because Shane was like, yeah, that was a thing.
Owens reflected, he gave an apology saying that he was in the heat of the moment last week. He said he wasn't worried about Shane screwing him over because the McMahons had already done that to a legendary Canadian before. And, you know, it would be terrible PR to do that to another Canadian taking shots. Owen said AJ should be worried about, you know, Shane McMahon, because then he showed footage of AJ beating the hell out of Shane before WrestleMania. AJ's response was, I don't trust anyone, including, let alone a McMahon. Owens then brought up, you know, other moments in Shane McMahon history when he was refereeing. Back in 98, at Survivor Series, where he screwed Steve Austin. So they were getting, you know, their money's worth. Okay. And he even brought up the, you can get it all on the WWE Network. See all Shane McMahon's moments as a special referee. He's known for screwing people.
Including the entire McMahon-Helmsley era.
Yeah. That is how Triple H won the first championship with Shane McMahon as the referee.
That was a thing.
That was a thing back in 1999. He's going to call the match down the middle of the chain. He just said he didn't want to have to wait till SummerSlam could move Shane out of the picture and have the match right there. And then Owen said he'd rather win the U.S. title in the United States in a city that matters, getting that heel heat. AJ said, what does matter is that this was the closest we could ever get to being the U.S. champion. Owens took a cheap shot, Shane got involved, Owens tossed him in the way of the Pele kick, and there you go.
This was a fantastic segment. This was so well done. I really, really, really liked the tension between all three. I liked the barbs, I liked jabs, the back and forth. This was really well executed. And then to top it all off, to kind of renew that AJ Shane sort of rivalry a little bit, AJ kicks Shane in the face, thanks to Kevin, who ran off laughing hysterically. It was perfect.
I really enjoyed this 2 hours episode of SmackDown.
I like this better than I liked Raw. I will say that.
Because everything mattered here.
Everything did matter. I was still disappointed with the Fashion Police, but it was hilarious. And it means we're going to get more Fashion Police, so I'm fine with that. But up next, NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
So the main thing from the show is Bobby Roode and Drew McIntyre.
Can we talk about my wife?
We'll get to her. We'll get to her. Don't worry.
I want to talk about my wife.
All right, fine. Talk about your wife. Fine. Go ahead.
Because NXT opened with my wife. Not really. But Nikki Cross was in the ring, demanding Authors of Pain, screaming for them, slapping her hands on the mat, and then when they came out, she gave them the most adorable little wave I've ever seen in my life before screaming at them. I want Nikki Cross to take out the Authors of Pain. I want that to happen. Let her do it. I hurt her so much. Anyway, Sanity came out, and they attacked the Authors of Pain. And, well, it wasn't just Killian Dane and Alexander Wolfe and Nikki Cross. Oh, no, no, their fearless leader, Eric Young, has returned. And he got one of them. I don't know which one. I think it was Razor?
Razor. I can't tell them apart. Even though they have name tags, still can't tell them apart.
Okay, they are now known as Bebop and Rocksteady. He got Bebop attached to the guardrail, isolating him, and then they kicked Rocksteady's butt in the ring.
But I thought it was Rocksteady they got first.
I don't remember how this exactly went. I was just hard-eyeing over Nikki Cross.
I don't know which one's which. It doesn't matter. Anyway, one of them...
Yeah, I can't tell which one's which.
One of them was tied up, then they beat down the other one. It was good.
It was great. It was fantastic. And then you had Nikki Cross get the belts. She was hugging the belts, and you had Sanity stand tall over Rocksteady and Bebop, technically.
It was Razor who was actually tied up.
Okay, so we had that right. All right. I actually want Nikki Cross to just, like, chase Paul Ellering around the ring as he screams in terror.
It could happen.
It's probably going to happen, but I want it.
So now can I talk about the big segment of the show?
Yes, now you can talk about it.
Okay. So Bobby Roode and Drew McIntyre had a face-off. William Regal was the moderator between the two of them. And they all both boasted about egos and stuff like that. Until Roderick Strong showed up. He wanted a piece of Bobby Roode.
Don't we all?
He understands what Regal told him about the title match in Brooklyn, but his issue with Roode isn't about the title. It's about standing up for his family himself as a man. Roddy told Roode and called him out for a fight. He said he wants a fight and questioned whether or not Bobby is man enough. Regal was going to say something when Bobby Roode just got all fed up and was yelling and screaming. He said that Roddy can shut up and have a fight, his fight, even a title fight, but he has to go through Drew McIntyre first. Regal said he's the one who makes the matches in NXT, but McIntyre was like, make the match. Regal said it was all about giving the fans what they want, so he said next week it will be Strong versus McIntyre. It's not for Brooklyn. Brooklyn is still McIntyre versus Roode for the title. But if Roode can, Roode beats McIntyre, Strong beats McIntyre, they'll have their fight after TakeOver.
I'm 100% fine with this. And can Bobby Roode be any more extra? I mean, honestly.
He probably could.
He's probably gonna be. But I mean, it's like, good lord, Bobby. It's to the point, it's like uber cheesy, but you really can't hate on it because he's doing such a fantastic job with it that it's like, all right, this is cool.
He was doing a great job of playing mid-2000s Triple H.
He was. He really, really was. He is. That's what he's doing. And it's perfect. Get him the purple boots.
It's not perfect. It's glorious.
Yes, hashtag glorious.
Danny Burch beat Oney Lorcan.
Again.
They shook hands afterwards.
It was a thing.
No Way Jose lost to Andrade Cien Almas. Zelina Vega was at ringside. It's his associate, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
After the match, he came to the announce table and said if Gianni Wrestling wants a match, there's his opponent.
All right. Cien and Johnny. I'm not going to complain about that.
No, not really. Because Johnny was looking for a fight because he has been at every TakeOver since last year's Brooklyn. He wasn't going to miss this one. And then, earlier in the show, oh, God, you had Deuceon Domino take on Crime Time. I mean, the Metro Brothers taking on the Street Profits.
It was there. I was confused for a second. It was a match. I mean, I could see the appeal of the Street Profits. They're fun. They're entertaining. They're energetic. I like them. They seem like an updated version of Crime Time. I don't know if that's good or bad. I'm hoping it's good because it's less racist than Crime Time was.
To me, it's Crime Time mixed with the Usos.
Part
of, you know, where they scream and chant type thing, Usos.
I mean, it's fun. It's definitely fun, and they're going for it. Like, I can't deny that they're not going for it. I had a question about what was in the solo cup, because I was sitting there when I saw it, I was like,
Profit juice.
Okay, alright, it's that kind of party.
Yeah. So
BYOB.
I want to say this about the Street Profits. This is Angelo Dawkins' last chance at success. This is his fourth or fifth gimmick, and at some point, it's either you make something of yourself, or you cut bait. And at this point, we're at the stage of, if this does not work, Angelo Dawkins will be released from WWE. I'm calling my shot right now. That's a thing. Why? You can only have so many gimmicks before they give up on you.
Yeah, I mean, the point of NXT is to not go down there and stay down there. The point of NXT is to go down there, get trained, and get out. Because they try to keep a very limited roster of about 75 people that are in training at any given time in NXT, which is why you generally, for the people that come in and don't need training, they're only down there 6 months to a year before they go up, if that.
He's been there 5 years.
Yeah, to be down there that long, that's not good. And they've been trying to get the people that have been down there the longest up to the main roster. They did it with Tyler Breeze. They did it with Ty Dillinger. And they're trying to do it for Dawkins. Like, they try to make it work for people. They try to get them out and get them up to the main roster because that is the point. But at some point, it's like, look, if this isn't going to work out and we can't find what works for you, then it may be you have to go out on the indies and you just have to figure it out and then maybe come back with it, you know?
Mm-hmm. And so it's like they may have to cut bait with them. Look at what Juice Robinson's done. He's made a name for himself after wanting out of NXT. At some point, this may happen for Angelo Dawkins. I don't know. He has the size they like, so it's like they're giving him every opportunity to succeed, but I look at him and go, this could work, or this could flop.
I'm in the camp it's going to flop at some point because it could become a no way Jose type thing where it's okay right away, but it could trail off really soon, quick.
Well, it has a shelf life.
And that's the biggest problem for him.
And it's something of how do you evolve it from now, the initial splash gimmick of, okay, here we are, to something more to get that longevity. Because as everybody knows, in wrestling, you have to be able to evolve the gimmick to last. If you stagnate and you get stale, people are going to become disinterested in you. People aren't going to care, and that's not what you want.
And then you look at the Metro Brothers. They are Deuce and Domino.
Are they signed?
Yeah, these guys, yeah.
I was very confused by them. I was like, why are Deuce and Domino out there? I don't get it.
They only need a cherry.
They did, and I'm sure they could find them one.
They have a roster full of them.
But I think that does it for NXT. What do you think?
It was a noteworthy show. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, everything mattered. They also recapped Aleister Black and Hideo Itami from last week, where Hideo jumped Aleister backstage, and Aleister just couldn't even be bothered. He was more concerned about the fact that Hideo had wrinkled his suit, which was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, stuff on this show mattered. They're building to SummerSlam and to TakeOver, which is good. I'm very much looking forward to the contract signing next week between Ember Moon and Asuka. That should be fun.
And that will help us decide who wins the match on TakeOver. So yeah, next week we'll have the NXT TakeOver preview and pick them right here on the show.
I have a stupid question before we go to break.
Okay.
When is the actual solar eclipse?
August 21st?
Is it the 20th or the 21st?
I believe it's the 21st, and we would see it mid-afternoon.
Because next week is TakeOver, right?
Yeah, I got you.
Do you see where you're going? Where I'm going with this? You have Ember Moon win. I was trying to figure out if the eclipse is going to happen on the day of TakeOver.
I.
And you have Ember Moon win her title the day of the eclipse.
You're listening to the right.
So we'll be right back. So when we come back, we are going to be talking about Bayley and, well, what's going on with her? We're noticing a few things from Monday night that, well, just didn't sit right, and we are going to talk about it. So you don't want to miss that. And Tweet of the Week. You're listening to The Rack right here on WorldTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns,
maybe I have one more ass kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, you're going to put something on that list. Why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Tuesday night, step inside the virtual realm with WTR Sims.
It's Boots the Asses time!
Watch as your favorite WTR personalities battle it out to find out which one truly is the best.
To be the man! You gotta beat the man!
Watch it live Tuesday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/rackradioshow. Or on demand at youtube.com/rackradioshow. Tuesday nights will never be the same again with WTR Sims.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Hey guys, this is Colt Cabana of the Art of Wrestling podcast, but right now you're listening to the Rack Radio Show on the Wildcat Network.
Wild Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Hey guys, this is Colt Cabana from the Art of Wrestling podcast, but right now you're listening to the Rack Radio on the Wildcat Radio Network.
Wild Talk.
Motherfucker.
I don't know. I think we should keep it. I think it's funny.
Hey, guys. This is Colt Cabana from the Art of Wrestling podcast. But right now, you're listening to Rack Radio on Wild Talk Radio.
Perfect.
Wait, I'll do Rack Radio show. Sorry. All right. One more time.
One more time.
Hey, guys. This is Colt Cabana from the Art of Wrestling podcast. But right now, you're listening to the Rack Radio show on Wild Talk Radio. Take four. I'm going to take four rest.
Now I don't feel so bad. Back to the Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Or to my friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MVG1211. And well, if you're listening to us over at RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or Gerwick.net, thank you so much for tuning in. If you get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at FightBooth.com. They're awesome, they're amazing, and well, we'd love it if you go look at them, and they would too. So go check them out. And well, you missed the news. You missed SmackDown and NXT because there was the pay-per-view. Yay! But you're just in time for Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting no more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Okay, so this whole entire thing, minus two tweets, that I'm going to read is Xavier Woods. So I'm going to start with one, and then I'm just going to go. So, Xavier Woods, currently using Google Translate to explain to the man next to me that they need 8 volunteers or we aren't taking off. Things are breaking down at this gate. 3 flights from the same gate, and ours hasn't left yet. People are starting to turn Game of Thrones style. It feels like a brawl may ensue. I'll keep my phone ready in case some world star stuff happens. People have been clamoring for a manager, and it's not this girl's fault. Someone just said they are going to write a complaint letter. Handwritten, not an email. I've never seen this happen in real life before. It's literally that scene from White Chicks, and it's the Dear Mr. Royal Hampton gif. Mental breakdowns are starting to occur. A man said he is a lifetime executive platinum and will never fly them again, and just yelled at and just yelled at this girl who's working the desk like she purposely made it so we can't get on the plane. This girl, who's made of stone, looked at him and said, "Okay, I'm sorry this has happened, but unfortunately there isn't anything I can do to help unless people volunteer not to take the flight." He then starts to yell again, and she politely cuts him off and says, "Is there anyone who needs help that will speak in an indoor voice?" I haven't heard someone say indoor voice since I worked in daycare. I love this. Girl at the desk is giving me life with a sleigh gif. The first F-bomb has been dropped. This man cursed at the girl at the desk and she walked away. And we get the JR dancing gif with hashtag slobberknocker. A woman is breastfeeding and shooting dirty looks at the man who cursed super loud. Crowd starting to turn on him. So to update, we are delayed due to a weight restriction and need four more, already got four volunteers, to not fly. The reward is $1,300, a hotel, and a confirmed seat on the flight to Montreal tomorrow. But we may only need three more pretty soon because this man who dropped the F-bomb may be in danger. People next to me are actually conspiring to try and get people to band together to get him boot him off the flight, Game of Thrones style. The price just got up to $1,500 after the Lifetime Executive Platinum man got loud about it. People smiled, and the F-bomb guy is mad jealous. And he still doesn't know people are plotting to force him to volunteer for cursing out our Khaleesi, aka Desk Girl. We are now at 2,000. This is like watching Deal or No Deal. Everyone whispering with their friends. F-bomb guy whispering with no one. And this has been my aesthetic the entire time. And it's the picture of the dog and the burning room going, "This is fine." I helped an older lady fill out her declaration card and then watched her in one 30-second walk, mind you, shun the F-bomb guy, then feign injury so she could skip the line to speak to our Khaleesi, then proceeded to try and plead her case for why she should get on the plane now. She said, "I honestly don't know how much time I've got left, so I need to get on this flight," and Khaleesi stonewalled her with a gif of Daenerys Targaryen rolling her eyes. When the older woman returned to her seat, she laughed and said, "I tried the old lady thing, but she wasn't buying it. I have no idea how I was selected to be blessed with all of this ridiculousness on this day. Too many hysterical things are happening, starting to look for cameras. I think I may be unswerved. This cannot be real. I can't with what just happened. The Lifetime Executive Platinum dude just came and gave props to the old lady who faked an injury. And the F-bomb guy saw it and visibly threw a 2-second tantrum. He looks like he wants to fight the old lady for being a cheating babyface. We are boarding. There's a couple that is so happy that they are literally in tears. This girl at the desk, she truly is the breaker of chains. The F-bomb guy said something to Khaleesi under his breath. She stopped him and said, "You being rude did nothing to help anyone. Know that." Man in front of me, who also kept his cool, just jokingly said, "Now we are going to sit here in this plane for another 2 hours. Please, Lord, no." Breastfeeding mom just got on and walked past F-bomb guy. She mouthed, "Fuck you," as she passed him. How are things still happening? We are about to take off. I'm still in awe that this even occurred. Hopefully it's done and a fight won't break out in customs. Bye! This day. No hotel rooms available in Ottawa. Most expensive hotels ever in Montreal. Drove back to the U.S. and the rooms were booked for smoking rooms. Who is chain smoking in these hotel rooms? Poor Xavier Woods. He did not have a good day.
No.
Tommy Dreamer. "I have a nice patio and koi pond. I can't enjoy it because this python is looking right at me. Someone call Earthquake for me, please." And it's a picture of a garter snake on his bushes. To which William Regal replies, "It's a harmless garter snake. All your hardcore credibility has just melted. Pick the snake up gently and move him somewhere safe." And I can hear Regal saying that in his snarky voice.
Yeah.
And that's all I got.
Finn Balor. "Oh no, it's Sunday, but I forgot to do my ab crunches." Baron Corbin, "You're 162 pounds. Your abs don't have a choice but to show." Finn, "Maybe you can give me a few of your extra pounds you are hiding under your t-shirt. I would gladly, but your tiny body could not support it." That was Baron Corbin. I'll keep you 5-star. "I know we're supposed to suspend disbelief, but I can't picture Brock Lesnar RPing in an AOL chat room. Hashtag Raw." No, probably can't.
Paul would.
Clearly. TD, Total Divas episodes. "Can't blame Roman. You miss out on the first season of a hit show, then it becomes a pain to catch up."
Yeah.
So someone tweeted, Finn Balor, the spinner, the fidget spinner of his. He goes, "Apologize for this, Finn Balor. John, I was not aware. Sorry, my apologies." Emma, "Wow, 1.2 million followers. Best fans in the world. If I'm not mistaken, that's more than the majority of the WWE roster. Hashtag give Emma a chance." Kurt Hawkins, "Look, I know I haven't won a match in a year, and that's nothing to brag about, but neither is buying fake followers. Fact." taking shots.
Ouch. Sticking up for your boy.
WWE dad jokes. How many WWE wrestlers does it take to screw in a light bulb?
You are seriously not going to make me sit through these.
There's only, I have three of them. None. Light bulb screwed light bulb. See? See what they did there? See what they did there? WWE dad jokes. How does the legit boss manage her personal finances? Sasha Banks. Where do the members of the of DX suggest you plug in your electronic devices? Suck it. And finally, Sasha tweeted, if you're not down with that, we got two words for you. Suck it. Shawn replied, LOL, we really were a bad influence, weren't we? Bailey replied, but the best memories. Lindsay hates me right now because I like the WWE dad jokes Twitter.
I'm going to just...
I could have done more.
And you would have gotten hung up on. You would have been done doing the Bailey discussion by yourself.
I love the WWE dad's Twitter. It's funny.
To you.
It's hilarious.
To you.
See, Matt LOL'd at it.
He's a dad.
Anyway, the Bailey dilemma. Go.
All right. So, we wanted to talk about Bailey. Because on Monday night, Bailey got booed. She went out there. She's in a sling. She's the ultimate babyface, right? She's out there pouring her heart out, and she's getting booed.
Shame. Shame on all of you.
And we wanted to talk about this, and really the direction of Bailey and what they've done since she's come up to the main roster. Now, the evolution of Bailey in NXT was she became this ultimate underdog, and they progressed her into someone that was still that underdog, but edgier. And that's where she was when she came up to the main roster. Really, when she was at the height of her popularity. And when they brought her up to the main roster, they hit the reset button on her.
And they took
her back to a more infantile, childlike character. Which, there's nothing wrong with that, but they haven't progressed her past that.
Because when the
writers look at her, they see a child. Basically, which is not good.
No, it's not. Basically, when she came up, it was either like her first day in middle school. She graduated from fifth grade and now moved on to middle school, basically. So they brought some innocence back with her on that. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So as she grows and evolves, you have to figure out ways for the character to connect. And when they brought her up, as Lindsay was mentioning, it's like they took her back to sort of the fangirlish part of her character, which is fine, which is what endeared her to a lot of the fans in NXT.
Yeah.
And it's how we saw her grow. It's like, she was running around hugging people, AJ Lee, and stuff like that. And everything, it was stuff that she captured your heart in that way. And it was, for little girls gravitated towards her for that reason. Because they saw themselves in her, you know?
Yeah, she was a different kind of women's wrestler. She wasn't, for lack of a better word, a glamazon. Because a lot of the women in WWE, that's kind of what they are. Not to say that they're all Beth Phoenix, but they all wear makeup and have their hair done and, you know, are very fashionable and this and that and the other. They're all kind of along the same theme, but different. Bailey, she does wear a lot of makeup, but she's this just adorkable fangirl.
The other girls were divas, in the sense of word. You had to put the perfect example, like a Summer Rae. She was this stereotypical diva.
Mm-hmm.
Blonde hair, blue eyes. That whole thing. She was the look. She was the fashionista with the everything like that. That's where it was. And then you had Bailey, who was the complete opposite. And continue.
What also endured Bailey to a lot of people was the feuds with Charlotte and Sasha.
Who were both heels at the time.
Who were both really strong heels at the time. Charlotte was on her run with the BFFs, and then Sasha did her run with Becky, and then Bailey and Sasha eventually went solo on their own, as did Charlotte and Bailey. But what really endured people to Bailey was the fact that she kept getting kicked down.
Endeared. Not endured, endeared.
Endeared Bailey to them was that she kept getting kicked back down, but she would keep getting up. And she would keep fighting, and she would keep pressing forward, and she would keep going. And it took her a long time to eventually get that moment at TakeOver Brooklyn 1, where she finally won that title for the first and only time. I mean, it took them, what, almost 2 years to get her there?
Yeah, something like that.
From when we started watching, so pretty much her entire NXT career was built to her winning that title.
Basically from 2013 onward, it was so almost 2 years.
To get her there. Mm-hmm. So that's what really attracted people to Bayley. That's what made people love Bayley. She would get knocked down, but she'd get back up again. And
I'll keep waiting for you to finish the lyric, that's all.
I can't remember the lyric, but I pause for people to mentally finish the lyric. But she gets back up, and she keeps going, and she keeps fighting, and that's a positive message to send to not only adults, but also children, of, hey, you're going to fail, and that's okay.
There's nothing wrong with
again.
There's nothing's ever going to keep you down.
There you go.
But the point is, yes, we had a tub-thumping reference, everyone. Unintentional tub-thumping reference. But there's nothing wrong at failing.
No.
No. It's how you respond to failure. It's how you overcome adversity.
And that was Bayley's whole thing, was overcoming adversity, overcoming Charlotte, and finally beating Charlotte, overcoming Sasha, and finally beating Sasha, and finally winning that title, and having that moment in the sun.
And then when they brought her up to the main roster, they gave her the moment too soon. Flat out, she was given the moment too soon. Her peak should have been winning the belt. I think even WrestleMania would have been too early, but let's go with that. She should have won the belt at WrestleMania. She should have had her big WrestleMania moment. Yes, did she win at WrestleMania and retain the title? Yeah, but it would have been a bigger moment from there. Then you started the title reign. But instead, the title reign was already started. You've already burned through rematches. You've already burned through title defenses. And then you got to the Alexa Bliss story, and they royally screwed that up.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. Well, what didn't help Bayley is Bayley came up, and she kind of got caught in the end of the Charlotte-Sasha dynamic.
Not even at the end, right in the middle of it.
And so Bayley was brought up, I think, as a way to sort of solve that quandary between Charlotte and Sasha, where they kept flipping that title back and forth, and people were getting tired of it, and they wanted a change, so they brought Bayley up to feud with Charlotte, and then that way, it's like, okay, that gives everybody a break from that feud for a little while.
And the problem there was there was no one else. We've made this comment multiple times on the show. I'm going to make it one more time. The period where Charlotte and Sasha were dominating, there was nobody else on the roster to use that was credible. Everyone else, like Paige and Summer Rae, were hurt. Nia Jax was inexperienced. This is why Charlotte and Sasha and then Bayley carried the division. It's because you did not have enough experienced talent, healthy enough. No one's going to buy Alicia Fox. And even then, she was sometimes banged up. But I digress. Back to Bayley.
Well, Alicia Fox was in the Noam Dar storyline.
That came that came afterwards.
Yeah, but still. But anyway, so it's like going back to Bayley. So yeah, they gave her the moment too early. Okay, you did the payoff. You gave everybody what they wanted with Bayley, which is you give her the title. You know, she comes in, it's like, she gets that moment where she finally beats Charlotte. She gets the title. Everybody's cock-a-hoop. Everybody's happy. And then she loses the title to Alexa. No, not to Alexa. To Alexa.
In Bayley's hometown.
Which, okay, it's her hometown. She's going to lose in it. And they did a good story of Alexa coming in as that really strong heel. And she's going up against Bayley. Where they waffled that is the whole, oh, you've never been kissed, and the whole Bayley, this is your life. No, that's not how you should have told that story.
Between,
you can have Bayley be unsure.
Between that and the kendo stick on a pole match where she was not tough enough to strike with the cane, that hurt her too. Because they should not, Bayley, the character, should not be using that type of weapon. But they did not do a good job telling that story. They just made her look like a coward and an idiot. And that's not what you're supposed to do.
And it's like, it's okay to give Bayley an edge. It's okay to have her fight back. Because, I mean, the majority of the audience, I would say, know who Bayley is.
Now they do, yes.
Now they do. And it's, you can build to her. So it's like, okay, Bayley loses the title, all right? Loses in her hometown. You go to the next pay-per-view. Bayley loses a rematch. Or you go to the next show. You know, you do the rematch on Monday Night Raw. You burn it. Bayley loses, all right? She and Alexa, they're done for a while. You sink Bayley to the bottom of the roster, and you have her work her way back up. This is assuming you have a healthy roster, hypothetically.
You kind of do right now, but you don't really have that much of a roster at the moment. You don't,
going forward, like, you had Nia Jax. The only credible person left was Nia Jax. Emma was back and forth being hurt, and again, Alicia Fox was with Noam Dar. So that's your women's roster.
And Dana Brooke was...
Dana Brooke.
Somewhere.
Dana Brooke.
Yeah, and Paige Dana, was hurt, and Summer Rae was hurt.
Dana Brooke is turned babyface after breaking up with Charlotte right before WrestleMania.
So, I mean, you could have done Bayley versus Nia Jax. They kind of started to do it, where it's... And that would be probably be a good feud in terms of physically. Can Bayley take down Nia Jax? Because, well, Nia Jax is Nia Jax. She's big. She's strong. She's tough. She's hard to defeat. So you build up that underdog quality in Bayley where she eventually rises and figures out a way to beat Nia Jax.
But as we saw, going away with Nia Jax injured Bayley.
Well, yeah.
And technically, we already saw that story in NXT, which is an issue in itself.
But it's something that gets her away from Alexa, that gets her away from the title, that distances her from that. And then what you do is it's like you have to build that up because it's like eventually Paige will come back. Eventually Summer Rae will come back.
The perfect opponent for Bayley would have been Emma. And Emma pointed this whole thing out to her months prior in NXT where, you know, everything's not so, you know... Rose, there's not all roses and sunshine up on the main roster. Because Emma was back down on NXT. There was history there. And the two of them could have had a great feud. Really could have.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Because they're both the same size. They could have done some great things if they wanted to give. Hashtag, give Emma a chance. But, you know, that's besides the point.
But now, well, I mean, it could have worked. Because it's like, Bayley's got to have that strong heel to play against. And that's part of what makes the character work.
She's good against a strong heel. Someone who keeps knocking her down. And then eventually Bayley gets the adversity. She overcomes it. And that's where the Bayley character, she's the prototypical prototype of an underdog. That's who she is. That's why it works. But there, everyone wants to give everyone success early on. You want to make these big moments, and great, you made some great moments with Bayley winning the belt here on a Monday Night Raw and stuff like that.
So here's what you do. Okay, so that's the quandary with Bayley. What do you do with her? Because now it's like you've made her into a coward, you've made her look like a fool, you made her look like a buffoon. Okay, she's hurt. She's out for 6 weeks. Okay.
If not more.
If not longer. Nobody knows how bad the actual injury is except for WWE, so nobody knows the time frame right now on Bayley's return. Okay, so say she's out 6 weeks to 2 months. That puts it right around Survivor Series.
October, yeah.
October, November. So, all right, push it to 3. That puts it around Survivor Series. Hold her off for 3 months. Just keep her off TV. Have people start to question, well, where's Bayley? What happened to Bayley? We want Bayley. Make people demand to see Bayley again. Make that moment of her return special because it's like people actually want to see her. And when you bring her back, put her in those situations where she can face adversity. She fails, but then she finds a way to rise each time. And you keep her the hell away from the title, and you keep her away from it, and you keep her away from it, and she gets just there. She gets her fingertips on it, and it gets snatched away. She goes for it again, she gets her fingertips on it, and it gets snatched away. And you keep going back and forth like that, where she keeps trying to get to it. And say she wins a match, but she doesn't get the title because it's by DQ. Or there's something that always, that title always eludes her. Always eludes her. Until that moment where it doesn't. And you can do it at WrestleMania, you can do it at a SummerSlam, you can do it whenever you want. But keep her away from that title. And when I say keep her away from it, I mean for like 6 months, 6 to 8 months, you keep her away from that title. Or longer. Build to her winning that title again. Build to people wanting her to be champion again.
Build to a monumental moment. Build to the yes, yes, yes moment for Bayley. Build to that. The adversity. Okay. So, in this day and age, it's very easy for people to go, oh my god, someone's lost 3 weeks in a row, 4 weeks in a row. They're burying them. No. A losing streak is not a burial. If you piss off the office, that's a burial. But if you're losing and you're telling the story, that's not burying someone. There's a difference. And people need to realize this. Because every week you see someone go, oh my god, this person lost. They're totally burying that person. Internet. Learn what the term is and how it's used in World Wrestling Entertainment. Then come and talk to me. But as Lindsay mentioned, yes, you let her go on. You put her on a legit losing streak. And you see the frustration grow in her. And then you see people like her best friend Sasha Banks try to lift up her spirits. you see people give her advice. You know, have her interact with some of the men on the roster and have, like, Finn give her a pep talk, because we all know that dynamic works. And it's, you eventually build her to the point where she finally beats an Emma. Because you put, every time Bayley gets in the ring with Emma, Emma wins. Every time Bayley gets in the ring with Nia Jax, Nia wins. You build up to those moments where she always loses to these people, and then when she beats that person, oh my god, she finally got it done. And then she goes on, she finally beats that person. It's like, oh my god, she did this, she did that, and now she's ready. And then the ultimate payoff to this adversity would be the Sasha Banks heel turn.
Yeah.
Because then, once her best friend has all the confidence in the world, and you think she's going to be, you know, at least at this point, Sasha should be champion. She has all this confidence in the world, then her best friend stabs her in the back and says, no, you can't do it. And then, for another 2 months, have Sasha continue to beat Bayley. You give her a title shot, she loses. And then, finally, on the big stage of SummerSlam, or Royal Rumble, or WrestleMania, she wins it. Preferably at WrestleMania. Preferably WrestleMania in this scenario 35. But in WWE's world, they'll do this all in 6 weeks and it'll be at WrestleMania 34. Because they don't want to tell a long-term story. And that's the key. You have a character like Bayley needs a long-term direction.
And what's difficult with that is the draft. Which there are rumors circulating they're actually going to do it twice a year as opposed to once a year. Which makes long-term booking for people difficult unless you know where people are going well in advance and you book storylines out well in advance.
But for someone with Bayley, the draft won't matter because it's not booking opponents for her. It's booking a direction. Whether she's on Raw or SmackDown, flip-flopping, doesn't matter. You can build the direction.
Oh yeah, well, what you can do is for someone like Bayley is it's like you get her to that cusp, right, where she's just about to get that win, and to draw it out, you can move her, or you can move the person she's facing. And now it's she never got that win. And when they finally meet up again, in however many drafts it takes for them to get back on the same roster together, you can go back to that story. And you can continue to tell that story. Look what they've done with Seth and Dean. Everybody complained in the Seth and Dean storyline that they never got the payoff between Seth and Dean. That never got settled. And now, 3 years later, here we are. They're back on the same roster together, and they're telling that story. They're giving you that payoff. But for 3 years, everybody wanted it. Everybody waited for it. They never got it. They just let that go. And now they're coming back to it 3 years later. So that's something with Bayley. Obviously not in that amount of time, but you can do that. Like, say Sasha turns on her. You can move Sasha, or you can move Bayley. And now suddenly Bayley's best friend has turned on her, and she can't get to her. And that frustration grows in her.
She wants to be traded to the show. You need to give me this match. I need this match. You got to make this match. But she's not on our brand. Then send me to that brand. I want to be on that brand. I want a title show. I want to fight her.
It's not even about the title at this point. It's personal. It's, well,
you know what I mean.
I need to get there to get to Sasha.
I need her.
You can't do that.
Yeah, I need her. Yeah.
And so it's that frustration of not being able to get what she needs to get. That builds in her, that builds that resilience in her, that she, you know, when it comes time for the other draft, it's, you have to send me there, you have to bring me there, or you have to bring me here, or you have to bring her here. And you have to do something, you have to do this, I need to get to her.
And that brings out the hunger and desire. And this goes back to how WWE is booking philosophy. And this is why no one ever gets over, ever. 50-50. Bayley does not need to be 50-50 with every opponent. She has enough credibility with the fans where if she's losing, it's okay. But she has to be losing the right way. And the follow-ups every time she loses is the right way.
Uh-huh.
And if you're just losing to lose, then you're not telling the story. But when you lose and you tell a story every time, that's okay. Because someone always has to lose to get things over. Just look at how they booked in every era in wrestling. The people who lost got over. It works. Easy storytelling.
But we'll have to see with Bayley what they do when they bring her back. But yeah, that's just our opinion on it. That, you know, you see that and you see the potential in Bayley. And we've I'm not going to lie. We're big fans of Bayley. I love Bayley. I love what she represents to the female audience, especially to the little girls in the audience.
She represents goodness.
She's a positive role model. I call her almost the female Cena, and that's not even doing her justice. But that's what her character generally is. She's just a good, decent, nice person who likes to have fun, who likes to laugh, who sends a positive message in her attitude, in her body language, in the way that she dresses, everything. Like, she's the perfect role model for girls, or a perfect role model for girls. I don't want to single her out. And to see her fall and to see them kind of ruin her like this really breaks my heart, because it's like she has tremendous potential to make them a lot of money.
Mad and Chum Girls, Bayley is the female Hulk Hogan. Yes. 80s Hulk Hogan?
Yeah.
Say your prayers, eat your vitamins, brother, brother, brother. Yeah. That's who she is in terms of, you know, the perception she has for the fan.
And one thing you can do with Bayley, which they did really well in NXT, is you have her gradually get an edge. You have her move away from that adorable fangirl, and you have her get a little bit more serious as she continues to fail. And as she progresses, she gets more hungry and she gets more serious, and she gets a little bit more of an attitude and a little bit more of an edge. And that will put her back to where she was when she left NXT.
And as with the edge, it goes as her fan base grows. WWE treats her like a child. Let's treat her like a child. Like I said, she's now entering middle school. Let her graduate from middle school and become, you know, a high schooler, a teenager with edge. And that's how you grow the character. You don't turn her, because that's not the right way. But giving her an edge is the way to do it.
Yeah. And for the love of God, don't turn her heel. We had a discussion with somebody about this on Twitter. You know, honestly, it's something that... And I saw this dropped, and I wanted to mention this, because I just didn't feel like typing it out. But basically, somebody talked about, the guy that we were talking to, mentioned Hogan's NWO turn. And when Hogan turned heel. And how that could be very similar for Bayley. And he's right. It could be. I'm not going to take that away from him. But here's the thing. Hogan turned heel after, what, 20 years as a face?
And it was a last-ditch effort to turn Hogan, because the fans were turning on him at that point. And he was almost done with wrestling. That was at the end of his career he turned. Yes, he wrestled for however many long years. But the peak of his career, he was a babyface. And he continued to be a babyface. And in this day and age, if you want longevity in the career, you don't do things early. There's a similar, you could say the situation where Bayley is sort of where The Rock is right now. Where The Rock came in, he was the fresh meat babyface, and then the fans rejected him. The fans aren't rejecting Bayley; they're rejecting how she's being used, and that's the difference. And I know she went on Austin's podcast, and there were talks of her going heel, and Austin was against it. So it's like, Bayley doesn't need to be a heel. You can having an edge and a heel turn are two different things.
And Raw and SmackDown are already heel heavy anyway. You don't need any more. She's going to come up against girls that can do it potentially a lot better than she can. Right now, Alexa Bliss is owning that division on Raw. SmackDown, it's a little bit more muddled because you don't really have a standout
strong heel. Their best heel is a babyface.
Yeah. I mean, Charlotte's a babyface right now. You've got Natty and Carmella and Tamina trying.
Carmella, when they give her a mic, is really good as a heel. Because she's growing into it. She's not on the Bliss level, but she's growing into it.
She's getting there. She's working on it. That might be something if you need to move Bayley over to SmackDown for a while. I don't know, but I don't feel like turning Bayley heel right now will do her any good.
I think at some point
down the road, yes, but not right now.
Because I don't want to boo Bayley. Do you want to boo her?
No. I love Bayley.
And that's the point. I mean, if you're not going to turn Roman and you're desperate to make him a heel, it would be stupid to turn Bayley when no one wants it.
I'm convinced they turned Roman. We just were being lied to.
He attempted murder. Yes, they tried to turn him, but they were like, nope, doesn't matter.
But, I mean, yeah, it's later on down in her career, absolutely give her a turn as a heel, see how she does. But, I mean, there are some characters, they spend their entire careers as babyfaces or heels. That's just who they are. That's what they're naturally disposed to. It's coming up with a fresh story for them. Because I've seen them do this with other characters, where it's like they're a really good person, and so it's like, okay, well, we're going to turn you heel.
Need I remind people of the Steve Austin heel turn in 2001?
Oh my god. Oh my god, that was terrible. That was awful. He ran around with a guitar, y'all.
I'm just dropping facts. That's all.
And that's what I'm talking about, is it's like, you have a hugely popular character. We don't have anything for them. Okay, let's turn them heel. Now you have to get the audience to boo this hugely popular character. And you try. And you kind of get a mixed reaction, but it doesn't really work. And in the meantime, the character flounders because it's... this is not what they're supposed to be. And the audience rejects that this is not what they're supposed to be. And then they have to turn them face again. And it's always awkward coming back from that. And eventually they rebound and they recover because the audience gets what they want. But it's like, in that period, it's awkward. And it's not fun for anybody. And I just see that with Bailey, where it's like, you'd have to do something so shocking with her. And she'd have to do a complete 180. And I just don't see that working. I just don't. Because you look at her and it's like, no, not Bailey, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
So that's just kind of how I felt on that. It's like, you know, I feel like some characters are meant to be baby faces, some characters are meant to be heels, and then some characters are just whatever the hell they are that they wake up that day. It's like Taker. I don't know what the hell Taker was at the end of his career. He was just Taker. He just did whatever, and people were fine with it. And there are wrestlers that can get away with that. And there are wrestlers that can't. So, you know, it's just, that's how we feel on it. Or I feel on it. I don't know how you feel about it.
I'm behind you.
Okay. So do you have anything else you want to add?
No, I'm good.
Did I say we're done? So you have plugs, so plug away.
Saturday Night Midnight Ish is another edition of Secret Radio with episode 496 this Saturday. Midnight Ish. We're doing the Great and the Great Debate on PlayStation games. Tune in to CB Radio Saturday Night Midnight-ish. We're gearing up for 500 CB Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter, and .com. Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio returns to preview SummerSlam, 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday nights, we're all post-show, 11, 10 p.m. Eastern. Tuesday night, twitch.tv/RackRadioShow. We're going to start, I think, at 11 on this Tuesday for SummerFest. Since it'll be a little bit longer of a show, we'll start probably around 11, 11:15. Haven't figured out the exact timing. But yes, tune in to WTR Sims Presents Summerfest live this Tuesday night, twitch.tv/RackRadioShow. Catch up on some promos and stuff at Rack Radio Show on the YouTubes. More probably will be coming in the next couple days. So check it out. And all that fun, happy stuff. We'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of Rack. 10 p.m. Eastern, we're going to be talking NXT and SummerSlam. That's the deal. We're talking NXT and SummerSlam. We'll throw some SmackDown in as we preview SummerSlam, but those are the focuses of the show next week. Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter.com, YouTube, Stitcher, iTunes, Instagram. Every place on the social media is to search Rack Radio Show. We're there. It's all there. We're well branded in that manner. At Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio. Remember, we're streaming live everywhere. We're live on TuneIn Radio. Just search Wild Talk Radio Network. I'm tired, so Lindsay, plug.
Say, are you okay? It's rare for you to screw up the plugs.
I'm tired. Anyway.
Anyway, you can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LNSWARD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitters. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsors, Gerwick.net, Wrestling Figure Photography, Instagram.com/MBG1211, and FightBooth.com. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!
Radio.com.